for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021 at 6 p.m. Given the public health conditions and consistent with Assembly Bill number 361, which allows for deviation, meetings will be held by teleconference only until further notice. This meeting can be viewed on Channel 20 and is available on live streaming on the city's website and on www.slow-span.org. Members of the public may provide public comment during the meeting by calling 805-321-6639. The phone line is now open. And I haven't given the flag salute for a while myself, so I think I'll conduct that tonight. So if you'll all please stand and face the flag. I've got one up in the left-hand corner of my screen, and there's also one behind my chair. So take your pick, salute, and pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. You may be seated. Ms. Ratana, please call roll.
Commissioner Holden? Here. Commissioner Long?
Here.
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Here.
Vice Chair Halverson?
Here.
And Chair Rodman?
Here. So our first little item is the agenda review. So commissioners, look at the order of business and review it quickly. And does anyone have any suggestions or changes in the order of the day? If not, do I have a motion to approve the agenda review? And do I have a second?
I move that we accept the proposed agenda as submitted.
And I'll second.
I hear Halverson's. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Well done. So all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? There are none. Motion passes. Please call in at 805-321-6639 if you would like to provide any public comment. During this time, the commission will allow public communication. Any member of the public may address the commission for a period not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this commission. The commission will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the commission cannot act on items not on the agenda. So opening public comment. Clerk Rotana, please see if anyone is on the line.
It doesn't look like there's anyone on the line for public comment.
There is not anyone on the line for public comment. Therefore, I close public comment. And I'll open the consent agenda. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the commission on the item listed under the consent agenda? If so, please call in at 325-321-6639. First item is meeting minutes of November 2nd, 2021, the Planning Commission meeting. We'll need a motion. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Chair, I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve the minutes as submitted.
Okay. The consent agenda.
I will second the motion.
Okay, so the consent agenda has been motioned and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Aye. There be none, the motion carries. We now will go to our public hearing items. If there is any member of the public who wishes to comment on item two, please call in at 805-321-6639. And this is where I'm going to have to recuse myself. And because I'm chairman, the meeting will have to be, I guess, closed and reopened. But co-chair will continue with item two, and I'll come back for item three.
And I'll have to recuse myself too as the project architect.
Okay.
Okay, we'll see you guys in a few minutes.
Great.
Just waiting for them to disappear from the screens.
Cody's not on there with the picture, huh?
Okay, I see Chair Rodman's icon still there, but he closed his picture. I think he has to leave totally, does he not?
Correct.
Let me see. Let me see if I can get him off.
I have to kick the chairman off. Yeah, okay.
There we go.
Okay, there we go.
I got him out of here.
All right. Then I will reconvene the meeting. It's of the Planning Commission for Tuesday, December 7th. And we'll start with item two on the public hearing. And that would be the development application 21-40. Applicant is Douglas and Kathy Matthews. And the assistant planner is Rafael Castillo. And I believe Mr. Castillo has a presentation for us.
I do not have the presentation for you this evening. Associate Planner Reese will do the presentation.
Ah, okay.
Do you see the presentation?
Yes, I can see.
Okay. Development application 2140 is for 836 North First Street. The site consists of a vacant 6,900 square foot lot. The site is located in the coastal low density or CR1 zone. The neighborhood is primarily also low density residential with medium density to the southwest. Let me get my cursor. This orange, little darker orange is the medium density residential zone. The development code currently requires a development permit to be reviewed by the Planning Commission due to the height of the proposed structures exceeding 16 feet in height. The applicant is proposing to construct a two-story residence in the front, labeled here on the site plan as 836 North First Street, with an attached garage and a roof deck. In the rear, this building would be 24 feet 4 inches in height as measured from average natural grade. In the rear, an accessory dwelling unit is proposed of 1,200 square feet. it's a single level, but the building height is 18 feet, 2 inches in height as measured from average natural grade. These are the west elevations of those two buildings. So this one is what people would see from First Street. It's the front one. And then this one on the right is the ADU. And then on the bottom is the site section that shows the outline of the adjacent buildings. To the north and the south on the adjacent properties. So there are some grade differences in this area as well. This slide is the elevations from the north. The one on the right is the front unit and the back ADU is on the left in this picture. And then again, the site section is below. And I tried to match up the alignment on both the site section and the elevations. I tried lining them up. This slide is depicting the elevation and site section from the south. And then this last slide is for elevations, is the east elevation with the backs of the buildings, basically. There is a Housing Accountability Act, which while first enacted in 1982, it has been amended in the last few years a few times. These recent amendments eliminate local municipalities' abilities to utilize subjective policies and standards. And jurisdictions may only deny projects that would have a specific adverse impact on public health and safety. They must be quantifiable, direct, and unavoidable impacts. Subjective policies cannot be used to deny a housing project when the project is consistent with objective standards. The city's general plan and development code is currently in the process of being updated to remove subjective policies and standards. And that should be coming to the commission in the spring. Also in the last few years, accessory dwelling units the regulations for accessory dwelling units have been revised consistent with state law. ADUs are permitted by right in residential zones in the city, unless located in the low density zones north of West Grand Avenue, and they're greater than 16 feet in height, then they come before the Planning Commission. Accessory dwelling units are considered by the state an accessory use for the purposes of calculating allowable density. And so they do not count towards the maximum number of units a lot can have the number of units a site can have. Nor does building lot coverage count. So when there's a maximum lot coverage on a site, in this case, 45%, the amount of the lot that the accessory dwelling unit is covering is not included in that calculation. Additionally, these units are allowed to be constructed with a minimum setback of 4 feet from the side and rear property lines versus our standard 5 feet and 10 feet. The general plan land use element has policies that are applicable to the proposed project. However, as previously mentioned, these subjective policies cannot be utilized as the sole reason to deny the proposed housing project. The neighborhood includes one and two story structures, although primarily one story, in a variety of styles and exterior finishes. The proposed structures are consistent with applicable development standards, including building height. This chart reflects the objective design standards of our code and what is proposed. The proposed is on the right column. And the project does meet these standards. Currently, the development code requires the Planning Commission to make a finding regarding views. In the low density zone north of West Grand Avenue, residences can be constructed up to 16 feet in height by right without Planning Commission review. Proposed structures that require a development permit based on the residence exceeding or the structure exceeding 16 feet in height as measured. Let me just start over. Because the proposed structures exceed 16 feet in height, they require this development permit review by the Planning Commission. The development code requires the Planning Commission make a finding that the proposed project would not substantially obstruct views from adjacent properties. And the existing policy does not differentiate or place a higher value on the type of views. The determination of what is substantial is made by the Planning Commission after review of the information presented. So this picture on this slide is just of the site. With the two houses north and south of the site on each side, and then behind it are a couple of the houses on Second Street that you can see. Story poles were erected on the site to demonstrate the height of the proposed structures, and the pole heights were certified by a licensed surveyor. The project includes, again, a 24-foot, 4-inch high residence and an 18-foot, 2-inch accessory dwelling unit. The proposed development, the main house comprises 25% of the lot, which could be expanded to the maximum allowed under the development code, which is 45%. Based on photos taken during site visit, it does not appear that the proposed residences would substantially block views due to the existing or due to the proposed building heights. Here's a couple more photos from North First Street. There were also some additional photos included in the staff report. The project consists of construction of a residence and accessory dwelling unit where all public services and facilities are available and have capacity to allow for the maximum development permissible under the general plan. The project is not located in an environmentally sensitive area, therefore the project is exempt from CEQA. The proposed project is consistent with the general plan and development code and meets all objective design standards as discussed. Therefore, staff recommends approval of the development application for coastal development permit and a development permit. That concludes staff's presentation.
All right, very good. Thank you for that. Of our two commissioners who are left, do either of you have any questions for staff? We'll start with Commissioner Holden. She's shaking her head. No comments? Questions? Not comments, but questions.
It's a beautiful, beautiful house. Both of the buildings are certainly very beautiful.
Okay, and Commissioner Long, do you have any questions?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Janet, for the presentation. Just a couple clarification questions, I guess, if you don't mind. When we talk about low density for this area, CR1, right? Coastal low density residential, CR1. And then medium density, just for definition's sake, what are the definitions of those two terms?
Sure. Low density is, I believe, 5 units per gross acre, and medium density is 9 units per acre.
Okay. And for a development like this, what are we calling this?
So this is low density because accessory dwelling units are not taken into account on density calculations.
Okay. All right. And you mentioned the square footage calculation. Get my notes here. I'm sorry, the lot coverage. So the ADU is not used in that calculation, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
It should be noted that even with the accessory dwelling unit, this particular project did not exceed the 45% maximum. Okay. It was like at 43% or something like that. It was just under, but technically it's not counted.
Gotcha. Okay. And then just kind of looping back, I know this is always a question with some projects when we're talking about the Housing Accountability Act, right? Mm-hmm. The criteria there to, I guess, deny a project is focused on adverse impacts, right, to safety and or public health.
Correct.
Right. Okay. And so, again, just for definition's sake, an example, do we have any examples of what, like, safety or public health would be? Maybe traffic or something substantial like that? That would be an example of an adverse impact related to this type of project. I think you're on mute, Janet.
Commissioner, this is Dave Hale, your city attorney. Let me read for you a definition straight out of the statute. As used in this paragraph, a specific adverse impact means a significant, quantifiable, direct, and unavoidable impact based on objective, identifiable, written public health or safety standards, policies, or conditions as they exist on the date the application was deemed complete. So there's a lot of challenges for the city right at the moment in the context that we're working on those written public health and safety standards and policies. I can defer to the director, Mr. Buckingham, in the context of when we will have those in place. Currently, right now, you have to look to that specific definition. And if you don't have substantial evidence before you this evening that's been presented to you that arises to that level, then based on this particular statute, you cannot deny the project legally. So to give you a specific example, I don't know that I can off the top of my head other than saying if we have specific, then maybe Bruce can help me a little bit more on this. Specific policies that the violation of those policies would arise to the level to a public health and safety issue, then maybe you can make this finding. Currently, some of the things such as view sheds, we do not currently have a specific written standard, objective standard that deals with that. So maybe that helps a little bit. Maybe I confused you, but I'll defer to Bruce if he can come up with some specifics, maybe that I can't think of at the moment.
I will just add, Commissioner Long, I mean, traffic could create an unsafe situation. You know, an example of that occurring on Grand Avenue or safe pedestrian access and so forth, those would be examples that I can think of. Obviously, in a single-family neighborhood on a local street, traffic in it itself is not something that you would be able to quantify to be a public safety issue. So,
right.
And I'll remind the commission and the public as well. The council obviously is very aware of the Housing Accountability Act requirements. We have a consultant on board. There were two public workshops held this fall, and the process is underway of updating both our general plan policies and our development code to specifically remove these subjective policies, but they will be replaced with changes to our existing development standards, which are objective, but also the inclusion of objective design standards, which are something we don't have currently in our R1 zones. So in the future, those objective design standards will be what would be applicable to the project. And if they didn't meet those objective design standards, then a project could be denied. So that's in the process. And I think, as Janet mentioned, we expect adoption of that by the council late spring of this year.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, and I was looking for that clarification just to kind of set the tone that, I mean, obviously this project doesn't have any adverse impacts to which the project could be denied from that perspective. So thank you. Just wanted to get that out there. I guess the only other question I had for Janet, and that was just, and I know we've gone over this before too, but I always like to reinforce it with regards to ADUs, right? These are meant to be used. These don't fall under the category as like an Airbnb type of scenario, correct?
Correct. We wrote our short-term rental regulations to not allow accessory dwelling units that were created after the adoption of the short-term rental regulations to become a short-term rental. I don't know if I said that clearly.
Yeah, I think I got you on that. All right, thank you. That was all the questions that I had. Appreciate that.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Long. Those were a lot of good questions. I think the public will appreciate the clarity that you provided there. So with no other questions from the council, I will open it up to the public. If there's any member of the public who wishes to comment on the item, please call in at 805-221-6639. And do we have anybody on the line, Clerk Bertana, that would like to speak?
Would you like to allow the applicant to speak first before public comment?
Certainly. Good suggestion. Thank you.
I believe they're on the line.
Hi. My wife, I'm Doug Matthews. My wife and I are here. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're just excited about building and living there. And I don't really know how much technical stuff that I can, provide. That's
okay.
About
well,
it.
If you have no other comments, then we will move on. Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak?
We do have a caller. That is Chris.
Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, council members and planning commission and all the public listening out there in the neighborhood of 800 block of North First Street. My name is Chris Shalonik, and I do not support development of the building of current 2140 proposal. I have lived at 846 North First Street for over 11 years. My family has enjoyed living in the quiet, small neighborhood that is not overly developed and currently has traditional style one-story single-family homes with yards, landscaping, that create the special coastal community and its unique serenity and ambience. Living next door and seeing the erected posted structure with 16-foot high poles and planned overdevelopment on the lot had an immediate impact on my family, my neighbors, and many of those who enjoy walking with their families and pets along the 800 block of North First Street that enjoy the intimacy and natural beauty of our neighborhood. The proposed structure would place two large homes on a single lot in our neighborhood. That would have an immediate negative impact that disrupts the natural beauty, tranquility, and openness, with towering walls structures reaching over 16 feet from natural grade, obscuring, dominating the skyline and standing out apart from the aesthetics of the surrounding single-story homes. Building multiple two-story units on a single lot does not follow the guidelines of the Central Low Density Residential CR1 zone for one-story single-family homes. After reviewing documents, blueprints, conceptual drawings of proposed structures, it is clear that the proposed structures are not compatible in scale and character of existing adjacent homes and will not be integrated aesthetically on the 800 block of North First Street, as all currently are on one-story homes. Additionally, the two-story structure would allow for overlook down into neighboring yards, windows, homes, and the lives, and would violate the privacy of the citizens that currently reside there and call this place their home. Looking outside my window at the trees, bird sky, the sun is what makes this neighborhood a special place to live in. If proposal 2140 is approved, pleasant views and the current ambience would be obstructed by huge concrete walls and man-made structures. I've loved living in this pristine, natural preserved neighborhood because the focus is the natural coastal environment, not overdevelopment structures and lack of consideration for those who have lived there and call it their home. I contest the building of these structures and ask the council to prepare a resolution to deny the proposal 2140. A density reduced proposal would be considered the best solution to ensure that the neighborhood would remain an intimate setting for people to enjoy what makes our coastal community special. Thank you for your consideration regarding this matter. I look forward to your response. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else?
We do not have anyone else on the line for this item.
Very well, then I will close the meeting to public comment and bring it back to the commission. Commissioners, do you have any comments, any discussion about this matter?
I forgot to mention, just to make sure that you guys saw the email. An email went out with additional correspondence. Chris was one of the ones who submitted correspondence. It was, I believe, five or six of them.
Right. So I know in the past when there's been one comment, perhaps a brief one, that we've read that into the record. Is there a way that we can just include them as part of the minutes or?
These were also posted on the web. Yeah, they were posted on the website too.
Okay. Thank you. Again, going back to the commissioners, Commissioner Long, do you have any discussion?
Yeah, I guess I just would like to bring it back and maybe we can hit on a couple of items that Chris raised. Again, the density, he mentioned two-story buildings in a CR1. Janet, can we touch on that? Are those accurate
the
comments?
The allowable density in this zone is one unit per lot. Again, the accessory dwelling unit does not count towards density. So they are complying with density. They are allowed to do a two-story. That's separate from density, but.
Yeah, Commissioner Long, let me just add a little more context to the ADU, the second unit on this lot. Because the commission's aware of this, but just for the public's benefit as well. State law over the last couple of years was amended several times to allow accessory dwelling units or ADUs by right. And they preempted the city's ability to have any discretionary review of an ADU that's 16 feet in height or less. And so the commission is not saying currently, but we've had a dozen or more in just the last year of ADUs that can be built, again, up to 16 feet. that they are allowed by right. They just submit for a building permit. We must issue it if it meets the objective development standards we have. And they can be up to 1,200 square feet. Again, this is state law. The city does not have the ability to review or deny any of those projects. The only reason that this item tonight is before you, or the ADU is included in this more typical two-story home that you see often, is because it's 18 feet. It's 2 feet higher than would be allowed by right. And so it had to be included as part of this application. So again, just for understanding, if this thing was 16 feet, there would be no ability to have any neighborhood comment on the project. And then also, just to reiterate what Janet was just saying, that the purpose of the CR1 zone is for single-family dwellings. We also allow single-family dwellings in our R2 and R3 zones, but all three of those zones allow up to 25 feet in height. And as you're very well aware, only R1 zones north of Grand Avenue, greater than 16 feet in height, have this kind of discretionary review and public hearing. So we have homes all over, residences all over our city that in the R1, R2, and R3 zones that are up to 25 feet. So again, historically, the purpose of tonight's meeting has been to do a view shed analysis. Historically, there was the ability for the commission to potentially deny a project if it substantially blocked views of surrounding properties. What's happened, though, with the Housing Accountability Act, again, the state law preempting our city and all local agencies, is that now you can't deny that project based on that subjective standard. It can only be denied based on the objective standards we talked about. So, again, a little more context in how state law has impacted the city. And again, an ADU is not counted as density. That is part of state law. So as much as we, from a common sense standpoint, want to say there are two units there, there are not. Under the state law, there is one unit, and one unit is allowed in this particular zone. So be happy to address any other questions the commission might have.
Anything else, Commissioner Long?
No, thank you, Bruce. That was great clarification on all those issues. No other questions for me at the moment.
Commissioner Holden.
This is one of the situations where it's just, I feel bad for the neighbors, especially that I think there's a greenhouse that's behind there that is losing a beautiful view to the ocean. But there just isn't anything I can do. If I could, I would.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if there's too much for me to add. I drove through the neighborhood today, and it is a charming neighborhood. That particular block is primarily single-story original construction, and I can see where the homeowners take pride in that, and like their neighborhood. Apparently, they do. We received a lot of letters to that effect. I guess the state's decided that. That demands of housing oversee that, and here we are. So, with that, if there's no other comments from our other two commissioners, I would entertain a motion.
Chair, I'll go ahead and make the motion that we adopt the resolution approving development application permit 2140.
And I second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. And we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Long?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
And Chair Halverson?
Yes. Very good. The motion passes. And at this point, in order to get our two missing commissioners back online, we'll take a 5-minute break. Thank you.
Item number 3, development application 21-20. The applicant is People's Self-Help and Housing Authority of SLO. Assistant planner, the city planner of Buckingham is going to make this report. So please continue.
Good evening, Chair and members of the commission. Give me a second here now.
Certainly.
Where will I go from here? Turn it back, go to here. And then hit this.
Now, go there
from the beginning. And where's my...
The cursor still, you gotta hit the beginning.
All right, ready to go. Thank you, Chair, for your patience.
It looks good.
Good evening. I'm Bruce Buckingham. I'm the city's community development director. I'm going to start with some background. And I'll just start by first saying this was a lengthy staff report, a lot of information in the staff report. I'm going to provide some background here, and the commission can ask any questions if I don't cover everything. But I'll start by saying that the council, one of their current adopted goals includes increasing affordable housing in the city. And in support of this goal, in May of this year, the council discussed the council discussed potential uses of the city-owned Cleaver property for affordable housing uses. And this is the lot on South 13th. The address is 164 South 13th. And as a result of that action, and subsequently, the council did select People's Self-Help Housing and the Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo working together as to develop an affordable housing project on this site. And then consequently after that, the developers later acquired the adjacent property located at 1206 West Grand, which did significantly expand the size of the project. And I'll point those locations out in a second. So that was followed then in June of this year, the council actually conducted a pre-application meeting to discuss this project. And the result of that was they unanimously supported the project and gave direction for the project to move forward in the process. And in essence, that is the project that the commission is reviewing tonight. So tonight, the purpose of the meeting is to receive the staff report and ask questions of staff. Then the chair will open the public hearing, letting the applicant go first to provide a brief presentation, and then allow additional public comment on the project. Following that, the commission will close the public hearing and have the commission will deliberate and make a recommendation to the city council. And the city council has already been scheduled for the December 13th meeting. So next Monday, the council will consider the recommendation of the commission that the commission will be making tonight. So just some general background then, you have the zoning of the site is central business open. It is has a PD overlay on the Cleaver property, which is again located here. Can you see my cursor?
No.
Nope. How about there?
Oh yeah, bouncing around. Yeah.
All right. As you can see, it is an L-shaped lot with frontage on West Grand here and around to South 13th Street. So again, there's a frontage on South 13th as well as a frontage on West Grand Avenue. So here is a view from West Grand Avenue of the site. And here is the view from South 13th Street. So here's a site plan for the project. It's a little bit difficult to read it on the overhead, but again, you can see the building is actually L-shaped to conform to the lot size, and the parking is all along the west and south property lines. The west property line borders an existing mobile home park, and along the south side, you have the existing three-story mixed-use building to the south. A small mixed-use building to the north, and then the Chevron station and the car wash wrapping around in this location. So the project consists of actually two three-story buildings. There's a building here and then another building here. They are connected by walkways. It's a 53-unit project. That includes 52 affordable units and one on-site property manager. It's a mix of one, two, and three-bedroom units. There is a 2,600 square foot multi-purpose room located in the front of the project here, adjacent to Grand Avenue. And then there's also a 2,300 square foot common area that includes a sports court, barbecue, benches, picnic tables, and so forth located here. And then there's also a small community garden located on the site. So the building elevations, the proposed architectural style is modern agrarian. It has extensive use of pop-outs. These portions of the building are recessed or pop-out. There's also, the buildings are primarily stucco. There are some vertical metal siding accents, and there are also awnings over all of these windows, as you can see here. And then on the West Grand Avenue elevation here, you can see there's a second story open deck with outdoor seating available. So here's a perspective from West Grand Avenue. Again, there is the outdoor seating area. And then the elevation from South 13th Street.
I see.
So there is an existing 51-inch coast live oak tree on the site. The applicant did have an arborist report prepared, which indicated the tree is in fair health with decay and structural defects found in many branches. If retained, the project would be significantly reduced and would not be financially feasible. And the applicant is available to further address if there are questions regarding the financial feasibility. The applicant, though, to mitigate for the tree removal, is proposing to plant 52 trees on site and additionally contribute $20,000 for planting of street trees on West Grand Avenue. I will add that the council, again, have reviewed this project and all of these details at their pre-application. They discussed the tree removal at that meeting, and they did unanimously support the project, including the tree removal. The state has a lot of housing laws, as you heard from the last item. There is a state density bonus law that allows an applicant with a qualifying affordable housing project to be granted a density bonus to provide additional affordable housing units. The density bonus is above and beyond what's allowed in the zone. And in this particular site, the base density is 31. So they're allowed a density bonus above that 31 units. The state also imposes maximums on required parking spaces, and it also allows a developer concessions and or incentives to reduce development standards based on the amount of affordable housing that's provided as part of the project. So in this case, the state does allow an up to an 80% density bonus because all of the units in this project are affordable. The proposed project density is actually slightly less at 71%. And the apartments, it would include rents for very low and low income households. Those are all households that are making 60% or below the median income of the county. So again, the applicant is also requesting two concessions to these development standards. One is to eliminate the requirement to provide private open space, And in lieu of this, they provided a large common open space for use by all the residences. And second is to reduce the maximum required parking of 68 spaces to 63 spaces. So with all projects, staff does review this, reviews all projects to make sure they are consistent with adopted policy documents of the council. As discussed in the staff report, the project is consistent with the general plan for the city, and that includes several key land use and housing element policies. The project's also consistent with our development code and all the objective development standards included in that, except for the two requested concessions consistent with state law. And finally, the project is also consistent with the West Grand Avenue Master Plan design guidelines. Rincon Consultants was hired by the city to review the proposed project as required by the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. As a result of that review, it was determined that the project qualifies for a Class 32 categorical exemption for an urban infill project. So this is based on, again, state law. This is a infill project. It's surrounded by urban development. It's not located in environmentally sensitive areas. And there are several other findings that are documented in the staff report. So in conclusion, staff is recommending the Planning Commission recommend to the City Council approval of development application 2120 for a use permit, development permit, and lot merger to construct this 53-unit affordable housing project. And I'd be happy to address any questions.
Oh, well, thank you for that excellent report. So, commissioners, do you have any questions that can't wait till after we hear from the public, I guess, would be one way of saying it. So let's begin with Commissioner Holden. Any questions of the staff at this time?
When I went out to the site, there is a little couple benches and a memorial brick seating area on, is it 13th, whatever that is, 13th Street, I think.
13th.
Is that going to be, it looks to me it's going to be removed.
Yes, that would be removed as part of the proposed project.
Okay. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Long.
Excellent presentation, Director Buckingham. Thank you. I think just a couple, again, qualifying questions. The concessions, concessions that you talked about, the reduced parking, the reduced open space, I think they're entitled to five, was it, or three? And they've only asked for two? How does that work?
Four. And all affordable housing project like this can request up to four concessions. So in this case, they're only requesting two, as I elaborated. Again, under state law, they could request and basically would be granted all four. So they have designed a project that, for the most part, meets all of our objective design standards, except for the two that are noted.
And it was referenced the mobility and communication units. Can you give us a little insight on that? I mean, I get the gist of it, but I haven't heard the communication part of that. I haven't heard it termed like that before.
I will defer to the applicant on that, and they can give you a much more thorough answer.
Okay, good. No, I'd be interested to hear about that. And I saw in the drawings that there's solar panels on top. There's some energy efficiency elements as part of this design. Is that correct? Again, I mean, the applicant can speak to that, but
that is correct. There are PV solar panels on the roof of this building.
Okay. Great. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner McLaughlin.
No comments at this time. Thanks.
Okay. Vice Chair Halverson then.
Yeah, I just had one question. I guess all of these, except for the on-site management, are going to be affordable units. Do we know what the breakdown of the affordability is between very low and low? And
I believe in the staff report that the applicant is, they have proposed what they would like it to be. It is all subject to ultimately acquiring their financing that dictates the exact number. But I believe, and they can address this, Vice Chair Halverson, that there will be some in the category of even extremely low, very low, and low income. And I didn't elaborate in the presentation, but as you saw in the staff report, and you're familiar, when we went through our housing element, we do have a regional housing needs assessment, or RENA, that's assigned to the city. And there is a significant portion of those 369 units, part of our RENA, that the city must zone for. And this project alone would accommodate 35% of our low-income requirements. So this would be a significant contribution to meeting those requirements for providing affordable housing within the city.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Good, thank you. I only have a couple, actually. I didn't hear any mention of the beach rental building. That's not on this property, right? That's right next to it. I was just trying to get oriented there.
The former ATV rental building was acquired by the applicant. So this, the L-shaped leg that's fronting Grand Avenue does include that building, and it would be demolished, obviously, as part of this project to construct the housing.
Cool. Okay. And then, I'll probably ask the applicant, may be able to explain. So do you happen to know what the justification for reducing the parking spaces from 68 to 63?
I'll let them address it. It kind of goes to Commissioner Long's question, too, about they wanted to provide more mobility units. And because those require ADA parking spaces, they have to increase the number of ADA parking spaces, which are about twice as wide as a standard parking space. So they are, in essence, having to reduce the number of parking spaces to provide more mobility units. So I'll let them further elaborate on that.
All right. So good. Then I'm going to go ahead and open the public comment period. And I'll call on the applicant first to, he's invited. Is he on the line there, Ms. Ratea?
Yes, there she is.
Oh, she is. Okay, hi.
Good evening. Thank you, Bruce, for your great presentation.
Speaker, I can't hear.
There's probably two or three on.
Can you hear me now?
You're just very quiet, Dahlia.
No.
Maybe it's not going to work. And Mr. Chair, I'm Ken Trigero. Maybe I'll just take over for Dahlia. I'm with Dahlia, the CEO over at People's Self Help Housing. Dahlia, are you, you're back? Do you want to try again?
Sorry, Ken. Does that matter?
I heard her then.
Okay, great. Sorry about that.
I can hear you now.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for your patience. As I was saying, I'm Dahlia Flores, the project manager for this proposed project. And I'm joined tonight by Kenneth Trigero, who's our CEO and president of People's Self Help Housing, Scott Smith, the executive director of the Housing Authority of San Luis Obispo, and Murray Duncan, our project architect. Together, our team has a century of experience building affordable housing and as well as providing supportive services. Haslow currently manages over 800 affordable apartments throughout the county and
Peoples manages over 1,800 affordable units throughout the Central Coast, throughout 55 sites. Our goals and approaches are really similar, and we're really excited to have been selected as the co-owners and co-developers of this important project for the community. Next, Ken will speak to some questions you've posed based on affordability, and Murray, our architect, can speak to PV and solar, and Scott will wrap us up. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Yes, go ahead and continue.
Okay, thanks, Chair Rodman and commissioners. Thanks, Dahlia. We're really happy to be here. We're a longtime local affordable housing developer, nonprofit. Since 1970, we've been here in San Luis Obispo County. Over those years, we have never been able to develop a project for affordable housing in Grover Beach. We have tried and looked at like a lot of sites over the years. So it's really an honor to be here now and partnering with the city and to be in a joint venture with the Housing Authority. We make a really strong team, so we think this is gonna be a good quality project with two local, you know, community-based organizations. And it'll be a permanent asset for the community. We have a lot of experience, success, and talent among us. It's still a very big challenge on the financing side. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about, there was a little reference in the staff report, but the way we really guarantee that these will be affordable, and we define that as really the end users, the renters here, whatever they're earning, it should only be about 30% of their income to go toward rent. That is the goal. That's what makes it affordable. So to do that, we really need to use specialized financing. There's really no other way. The primary source for that, although we're going to cobble together some public sources because we need to kind of come up with really a down payment before we can compete for the big equity piece, but it's generated through this federal low-income housing tax credit program. It's been around since 1986, came out of the Tax Reform Act back then. It's had great bipartisan support over the years. It's produced thousands and thousands of units. It's governed by the IRS, so it's got a really great track record. The good news, it's great. It makes it affordable. The challenging news is it's very competitive. It's hard to get. And so we need some public commitment. The land contribution from the city is going to be a big part of that. But these tax credits are really going to provide the lion's share, probably more than 60% of the equity that's needed. The point being, it's a very complicated and competitive program. We have to abide by the parameters, complicated requirements of the program, and so they give guidelines, or really regulations, I should say, over things that govern the units and the affordability, the sustainability features, all those, you know, sort of questions that you were asking about, really go into this Rubik's Cube that we do to bring the design and the financing together. So that's why we've come up with this plan. And we think at this number and this design, it is feasible. We've done a lot of effort and study and background to get it to that point. But hopefully we'll be able to keep on this track so that we can, there's these hard deadlines to be able to compete to. We only get twice a year chance to compete for this financing. So we're on that track. We're hoping to get recommended. But I want to turn it over to Scott from the Housing Authority. And I think we're going to probably want our architect Murray to address some of those specific design-related questions. So that's it for me, Mr. Chairman. I'll turn it over to Scott.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
There we go. Well, I was supposed to be the wrap-up hitter here, but that's cool, as they say. And Murray can. I'm not going to talk about technical stuff, but what I just want to say is that thank you for considering us tonight. Your city staff and everybody there that we were working with is just great. You've got a good team there. We're super excited about this. As Ken said, this is really the first significant affordable housing development in Grover Beach. And he and I have been doing this way too long. I'm not getting any of those free watches or, you know, things that the commissioner was mentioning earlier yet. I'm not quite that long, but it, you know, the reason that it doesn't exist is just, it's just so difficult. And because it all starts with a site, and this site is a perfect location, so close to services for the workers and the population that we're going to be providing housing for. And as mentioned, this 53 is going to go a super long way towards meeting your the RENA objectives, what they call the regional housing needs and your housing element goals. And these are going to be permanently affordable. So there's going to be a deed restriction that gets recorded on that property that's set for a minimum of 55 years. And so this is going to be essentially permanent affordable housing, and it gets audited by, two or three different outside parties at least once a year. So it's going to be a first class development. And I just want to emphasize also that time is of the essence, because for two reasons. One is this housing was really needed yesterday. It was needed 5 years ago. And so we're just really in a big hole trying to get dig our way out. We work with the people that need the housing every single day, and we hear the stories of how difficult it is for them. So time's of the essence, but also cobbling together the funding is so tough. And some of the funding that we're going for, it's only available, the applications, you can only apply once a year, and you can't start that process until you have an approved project. You can't even get up to bat. So if we miss that first round in early 2022, it could mean a 1 year setback for this project, because we'd have to wait an entire year to go. And that would be the state home program specifically that we're looking at as a sort of a key piece that could help us on this project. So we urge you to give it your serious consideration tonight. And we're really are hoping for an approval. Thank you.
And Dolly, if I could step in, I think, and Mr. Chairman, if you will, we heard the two questions, PV, solar panels, and accessibility. Well, really three, the parking count. And I'm thinking, Murray, you could probably shed some light on some of those aspects for us.
Thanks, Ken. I think the key to the parking description is we can meet the Grover Beach parking requirements. We can't meet it once we put in all of the accessibility requirements. There are multiple, it's the electric charging stations for cars, the multiple handicap parking spaces. And then in all the mobility units, we have to provide for a van as well as for cars. So long story short, we lost about 5 parking spaces approximately. And in order to provide for all of the mobility requirements that we have on this project. One of the questions I think Commissioner Long brought up was, what was the auditory requirement? What that is we have a percentage of units that are required for the heart with hearing impaired. And it's a siren that basically goes off, very, very loud screeching sound. And that has to be in a number of units to meet our minimum ADA requirements. As far as the solar component is concerned, we are designed right now with roof area that well exceeds the solar offset requirement currently by code. And so we will meet the minimum requirements, if you will, but we're set to exceed that by quite a lot. I don't have the exact number. I can't say that it's 100% offset. We haven't got to that calculation yet, but we have a very high ratio there that we're planning and hoping for.
And I guess
go ahead.
Sorry, Murray, if you were wrapping up, I was just gonna say, so again, a lot of the sustainability features are drivers either for competitiveness or even threshold requirements that are at the financing level. So that's why we're even above what sort of some of the city requirements are. Hopefully that makes sense.
So that concludes your report then, gentlemen and ladies, right?
I believe so.
Well, very good. Gosh, if I may kind of, this question is maybe outside of what my jurisdiction is, but I'm curious. You're supposed to be able to rent your units for 30% of the income. So you use the average income for or does that vary depending on the applicant? That's probably, if you could briefly ask that, I'm just curious. It has nothing to do really with what we're here for, but you're right where you said it's a very confusing project.
Yeah, I can start, and Scott might have some color to add, especially as the administrator of Project-Based Section 8. There's a lot of connections with HUD, is a governing agency that does a lot of surveys all over the country. We all rely on those to measure the area median income for wherever we're at. That's usually a countywide sort of survey. And so that median average, then we look at a percentage of that. So the proposal that we have before you, we won't be serving probably anybody that's going to make more than 60% of that area median income. And that slides all over the place depending on how many people live, you know, in a household. But there's occupancy standards, and so we kind of figure all that out. So it's really a pro forma that we come up with. We kind of think we know. But to give a flavor, I think, you know, our probably the lowest rent, I think that we're projecting for now, this is just very preliminary, is probably going to be, like, for the one bedrooms, probably around in the 400s, up to around it. We've got three bedrooms, and if you have a family in there, and if a couple people are working, that might be as high as about between 1,000 to 1,200, if I'm remembering right. That's usually the average somewhat. But again, that's a calculation of that household income multiplier of 30% of that, and it shouldn't be over that. The way we can do that, just briefly to go back, is the equity that we are bringing in is really a private source. So that's why there's this public-private thing going on. But and it's usually banks that are investing in these, really, but they're getting a tax credit for themselves. So they don't have a big return that they're asking us to make. So that's why we don't have a whole lot of operating expense. That's why we can keep these rents low permanently. Hopefully that helps.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very complete. I understand it a little bit better now. I apologize for maybe going outside of what we're really here for. But commissioners, if you don't mind, I'd like to hear from the public, and then will you gentlemen stick around for a little bit? So if we have questions, we can come back to you. I see a thumbs up. So, okay. So let's go ahead and invite the public. Is there any member of the public who wishes to comment on item 3, this item? If so, please call in at 805-321-6639.
Yes, we do. We have Marie on the line.
Okay, Marie.
Yes.
I think I can hear you.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I live in 200 South 13th Street. I'm right in front of the tree, of the oak tree and the park. I don't only speak for myself, but I speak for the building itself called the Tenants. This park is number one, was given to the city as a memorial in respect to someone. And by you taking this land and doing what these people want to do, because I heard what they were saying, and they don't even know how to speak. They are trying to make money with the pretense of building a low-income housing, because there's no way that $1,200 is low income for rent. Number one, I pray that no one gives them the money to do it. You are killing a tree that has lived there more than anyone, more than us. We live in a city that separates us from everybody else. We that's what it's all about. And as a citizen of Grover Beach, proud citizen of Grover Beach, if you allow this project to take place, not only they're saying that they're doing this for health reasons, you have a gas station right in front of them. What are the people going to be breathing gasoline? Have they thought of that? And then that they don't need the car required, the parking. Okay, you have all these things that they can't do. That means that they're not meant to do it. Find another lot. This place is sacred. It's a park. It was given to you by someone that trusted you with it. So you would make a park with it. Why not allow that park to come to life? Why allow all these buildings and all this toxic construction? For 2 years, you have offices in this building. You have medical facilities. You're going to be doing construction for 2 years. Am I being heard? Hello?
Yes. Hello? You're being heard.
Oh.
I believe
okay.
Your time is almost up, though, I believe.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, please, please, please listen to the people. Don't allow this construction to go on. You're gonna take away a 100-year-old oak tree. It's healthy. They were saying that it's in poor health. It's not in poor health. It's the house of all these different beautiful birds. They're from all, we have magic here. We have a place that is untouched by construction. I'm respectfully requesting, and I speak for everyone here, please don't allow this to happen. Nothing that they're saying fits. Nothing that they're saying makes sense. They're mumbling their words. They're reading a script. They don't even know what they're talking about. And if you approve this project, you're going to not only destroy a place that was given with the intention of being a park. Why don't we fix that park? Make it welcoming for all the travelers that are coming. But more people you're going to put in the middle of nowhere and facing a gas station, that's health hazard. That is one of the things that is not allowed. It's impact. That falls under impact.
Thank you. Thank you, Marie, for your concerns. Our procedure is normally to hear from all members of the public and then to go back and answer what your concerns are. So I hope you can listen to us when we hear from all members of the public, and we'll try to get to some of your concerns. So, yes, is there anyone else on the lines to speak to this issue?
Yes, we have Catherine on the line.
Okay, Catherine, speak up.
Yes,
see if
I'm
I
here.
Can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Catherine. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, thank you for allowing me to speak. I was in on the first meeting where this was all proposed, and I can't wait for it to start. I think it's a wonderful idea. There are way too many people who cannot afford to live here, and they can't afford to move anywhere else because the rents are so very high. I think it's an ideal location. I worked for social services for over 20 years, so I know how hard things are for people with low income. I'd like to address the tree also. It's a tree. It's not a human being. It's going to die someday. And they've done the study. I'm sure this lady believes the tree is very healthy, but the arborist says it's not. That tree could go into making park benches or decorative art. You could probably find an artist who'd take a piece of wood from that tree and make something beautiful to hang on the side of the building. I just think it's a tree. We're all going to die someday, and so is the tree. So let's put people in housing that they can afford. It's urgent that we do this, and I'm so proud that this is coming to pass, because I believe it will, because it's necessary. And Grover has been the first to do a lot of things, and this is one of the best things they will ever do. So thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you for your report. Catherine, thank you. Nicole, is there anyone else on the line?
Yes, we have Eric on the line.
Eric?
Yes, hello.
Oh, hello. Greetings. Good. I can hear you fine. Go right ahead, Eric.
Hello, Commissioner, City Council members, chairs, and callers calling in, and all community listening. Oh, sorry, I'm just out of breath. I just ran to get here. In response to, I know I'm only limited to time, but I just wanted to reply really quickly to everybody because I've had a chance to listen to everyone. And first of all, in response to the lady, not to be too cynical, but she's going to die too. You know, the tree's not dead. I live in this building. And I see birds from all races. I've studied ornithology. There's different species. I'm also a mental health practitioner, counselor. I've also been homeless. I've also been in mental health facilities. I've lived in low-income houses. I'm pretty well-rounded as an individual. I can tell you and attest to you that this community that I've been in for over 10 years is finally a place of peace. I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've had nothing in this town, and I've been able to build myself back up again in this town. And I will say that finally, this place is not only close to the beach, it is a sanctuary. Is a place where everybody in this community can come together and unite. I've seen this tree house not only people that have been here from out of town, transients from in and out of town. I've seen birds. I've seen families come together. The proposals for the finances do not substantiate what they're trying to do. They're pretty much trying to bring in a certain amount of money and have the building run itself under the guise of it being for mental health and low income when it's really not that. If they want to do what they want to do based on the proposal for low income housing, I suggest that they look elsewhere and find another lot that they can do their proposal where it cannot impact all these businesses and residents negatively. There are over 10 tenants that live here. There are families with newborn babies. This building construction is going to be over 2 years in construction, causing a lot of distress for the families. Not to mention there's mental health facilities in this building also. So how can you conduct mental health when there's noise going on? You'll still have dentists and doctors. You have other practitioners in this building. It's not just residential. So this building, they did not go out and ask any one of us to say, hey, would you like to be considered, you know, to be a part of speaking up for this building? We would like to include all of you. They did not even consider any of us. In this community, in this building, in this area, it has been completely selfish. Whether or not they're speaking for a tree that's alive or dead, the tree is still green. It is not dead, it is not rotting, it is not putrid, there's not root rot. Whether an arborist said, yeah, it can go, it's just one tree. Well, you know, everyone's cutting down these trees, but no one's actually looking into what these trees are actually doing. This is a park, it is a memorial. If this applicant had a resident in their family, somebody that died that meant something to them, and they had a memorial done and said, oh, you know, the memorial can go, we'll just build some houses for these people. I mean, really? This is how you take care of the community. You're just shoving people into places. Yes, I understand this lady may have been a social worker and she may have been in low-income housing too, but at the other end too, find another place that will not interfere with other people's living. This is narcissistic, this is selfish, and this is totally inconsequential, not to mention they don't have the complete fund. So if it's faulty, then what are you gonna do? Oh, you're stuck with a building that can't run itself, but you have people in it. There's nothing that's been fully thought through with any of this. And if this is to be considered to be because it's one of the orders that are mandated by the supposed president to make low-income housing affordable in this county, then they should look in a place that's not going to impact negatively the surrounding businesses and homes and residents and community members that are trying to thrive and make it on their own. A lot of the people that are living in these areas couldn't afford it previously, and now they can because they've been working really hard. I can tell you for a fact I've been homeless for over a year, and it took me a lot of
Eric, excuse me, but I believe your time is almost up, so if you could close quickly, please.
So in conclusion, I appreciate each and every one of you listening and giving me your full attention. And I really appreciate you. And I hope that you can consider all of us in this residence, in this community, in this office building, and in this residential community to please look elsewhere for construction for this building. Thank you so much. And I appreciate each and every one of you. And I wish you all a blessed new year. Thank you all.
Thank you, Eric. All right. So Ms. Rotana, is there anyone else on the line?
Yes, we have Rachel Mann on the line.
Okay, Rachel, speak up so we can all hear you, please.
Yes, hello, this is Rachel Mann, and I live off about a block off of Grand at 16th Avenue North. First, the previous commenter, I really thought he was gonna go in a different direction after his introduction, but I hear what he's saying. I want to respond to both of them. My understanding is that the family that gave this land as a memorial has been consulted and has decided that this is a better and higher and more respectful use of the property. So I think that the applicants have done their due diligence in working with the donors of the land. I do think the tree deserves a respectful funeral. Maybe we can find a way to do that. What I think about when I think about this this project, and I do want to state for the record, I want you to approve it in case I run out of time at the end. So many of us were at the holiday parade on Saturday, and what came to mind was looking forward to seeing our new neighbors hanging over that three stories of balconies that are overlooking Grand Avenue between 13th and 12th Street. Can't you just imagine all the children and the older folks and all the folks who are our new neighbors enjoying that moment and then being able to walk very easily over to Ramona Avenue for a great day? In terms of the project, ideally for me, it would be taller, another one or two stories. Our building code doesn't allow that right now, but it might in 6 months. But we've got to work with what we've got. Also, ideally for me, it would have even less car parking and more secure bike and scooter storage. It's along a bus line. We've got new bike lanes on Grand Avenue, and we have full sidewalks. It's easy to walk or roll to many amenities. And finally, I think having additional height would allow it to have an elevator, which would improve accessibility to all units. It would also facilitate easier move in and move out. It would make it easier to bring bikes and scooters up to the upper level apartments for more secure storage. We have a lot of minimum wage jobs in River Beach. And when we have homes here where they work, they won't need to drive a car. At $15 an hour, working 14 hours a week, affordable, as I understand it, at 30% of income is about $750 a month. These homes accommodate that. I think it's really important that we have them here. And finally, I'm a 46-year-old woman with no dependents. I'm able-bodied and I'm making a good income now, but there are no guarantees. I don't think I'm alone in this. I think it's good we're going to build homes for folks that at any point in their life might be able to stay in the community that they know. Thank you very much for your attention, and I urge you to vote in favor of this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel, for your input. Is there anyone else on the line?
Yes, we have Krista Jeffries.
I'm sorry, that's Krista Jeffries?
Krista.
Krista, thank
you. Good evening, commissioners. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you for having me. I echo Rachel and Catherine's sentiments in my support for this project. I live about two blocks away from it, and my kids and I walked by the empty lot multiple times on our way to preschool back when they were going to the Trueville preschool. Slo County YIMBY as a group has voted to endorse the project. It's a really great use of space. This lot was originally deeded for use as a park, but the executor of the estate has supplied written comment as to the Cleavers' support of the project and that they would be in favor of affordable housing were they still alive today. It's a legally compliant project. It's consistent with city goals, and it's an efficient use of empty space. The only thing that we regret is that there is this parking mandate that is dedicating so much space to machines and not human beings. I understand the impulse for preservation of the tree and the environmental concern, but I ultimately believe this position is short-sighted. Refusing to build housing in a high-demand area like River Beach may preserve a tree or two and open spaces within the neighbor's line of sight, but it doesn't mean that housing doesn't get built. It just means more housing gets built in more far-flung areas. It cuts down more trees, increases carbon emissions, and worsens traffic and housing prices and homelessness. All of this collateral damage is really just kind of the status quo for California now, and we are now reverting back to more infill development, which is more environmentally friendly. I'd also like to point out that the people living in Plaza Pacifica probably had several trees cut down when their building was built in 1982. I did some research on the rents in Plaza Pacifica. There's about 13 one-bed, one-bath apartments, somewhere between 500 and 800 square feet, based on some listings I found. The latest tenant to move in is paying almost $1,500 a month in rent for their unit, which is average, but considerably higher than it was just a few years ago. And I would like to respectfully remind the neighbors at Plaza Pacifica that they may find themselves in need of housing like the kind being proposed next door, either due to age or illness or a sudden change in financial status. And if that were to happen, wouldn't it be nice if they could simply move in next door instead of being displaced to Stockton or Idaho or the Pismo Creek bed? In conclusion, please support the project as proposed and adjust the development code so that the next project can be even better than Cleaver Commons. Thank you so much and have a good evening.
Thank you for your input, Krista. Is there more on the line?
We do not have any other callers.
No one else. Okay. Very good. Well, let's see. I want to kind of organize our commissioners' review of this project by first dissecting some of the comments of the public. So the question I had before, actually, and I still have, is there is 52 trees going to be donated or actually covered in cost on the property, and there's $20,000 for planting of plants. So my question is, how is that $20,000 for plants? How does the staff organize that? Is that done with trees only? Do you have a plan for that, or is there what happens to that $20,000?
Excuse me, Commissioner Rodman, do you want to close public comment?
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you very much. Yes, public comment is closed. Thank you very much. And I actually plan to get back to the staff, to the applicants too, but first, staff, can you describe how, like, an amount like $20,000 for planting is normally spent?
Sure. Let me just start by saying that technically, there is no mitigation required for the removal of this tree. The tree is not a significant environmental impact under the California Environmental Quality Act. Instead, though, as the applicant expressed, they have proposed 52 on-site trees. That's a large number of trees on the site. So that is something that they've voluntarily requested, although, again, we would expect in any urban infill project there would be trees planted. Second, they went above and beyond that to voluntarily donate, in essence, $20,000. And the city did recently plant some street trees. When we plant street trees on Grand Avenue, they have decorative grates, they have deep watering systems. Those trees cost about $2,000 per tree to plant. And so the $20,000 would equate to 10 new trees being planted on Grand Avenue. So again, these are, I think the applicant can speak to this, but it's in recognition of the tree cannot be retained, but they're sensitive to that, and they've proposed a large amount of trees on site, as well as these additional trees off site, if you will, on Grand Avenue.
Okay, good, thank you. So the next concern I heard that I would like the staff to address is pollution from construction. So our engineers and our health officials have approved this project. Can you review very briefly for me how the pollution from the construction will be at all controlled or not?
Well, I'll start by saying again, under the California Environmental Quality Act, this project is exempt because it is an infill project, and it's the least environmentally damaging project when we can build within our communities rather than expanding out. So this project will have to comply. The city has a noise ordinance. We have, you know, ongoing construction throughout the city on a regular basis. Yes, we do have residential units in close proximity. What is beneficial here is because we have parking lots that are along the west and south edges of this property, it's creating a pretty significant buffer, which does reduce noise to residents to the south and to the west. So, in essence, noise, there are limitations. Trip generation and so forth for this project would not have a significant impact on air quality or increased greenhouse gases.
Very good. Okay, so the next concern I want to emphasize is there's support for the memorial. Do you have documentation that the Cleaver people support the memorial in the building that's being constructed?
Yes, this is well documented, and the council had a lengthy discussion about this when the council was the one decided that this property would be best used as an affordable housing project. And as I briefly described at the beginning, they went through a process to select a qualified developer, one that has experience and the credentials to make this project happen. And again, at the pre-application in June, the council also reviewed this project and gave their blessing, gave their approval for this project to move forward in the process, which is what's occurring tonight.
Good. Okay. And then I heard support for lower rents, and we certainly have documents of how helpful this project's going to be for that. I've heard it's a good location. It's maybe not the best location. What else did we hear? Oh, it's near a bus line. That's a positive thing for transportation, for maybe those less parking spaces if people won't have cars because they can't afford them and they can ride a bus. I heard support for it's good for the environment and that it isn't. So I think with that, I would like to hear, I've used enough of my time, I'd like to hear from the other commissioners of what, let's deliberate, let's decide what we like, and if you have questions of the applicant, or we can call on the applicant first, if you would like. It's up to you guys and ladies. So I don't see anyone's hand. Halverson, would you like to speak?
Yes, sir. Please. There was one other concern that was brought up, and that is putting residential units next to a gasoline station and the harmful fumes and that sort of thing. I'm pretty sure that the AQMD would frown upon fumes escaping from gas stations these days. That's why we have all the recovery hoses and all that sort of thing, and all the vents on the underground storage tanks are filtered, and so there's virtually no fumes, harmful fumes especially, leaving that gas station. So I have no concerns about that. And so just looking at the project in general, you know, we need the low-income housing desperately. It's a vacant lot that was dedicated to the memorial of a person. That person's family has decided this is a higher service for that, and I couldn't agree more. And so we need it. And yes, sorry about the oak tree, but people come over oak trees. And the arborist report, you know, I don't remember him saying it was going to fall down tomorrow or that it was going to last another 100 years. He said it was kind of average condition. So there's no real excuse to pull it out except that we need the space to create low-income housing. And to me, that's a high enough justification for doing that. And we're replacing the trees. They're not going to be anything as magnificent as that tree is today, but at least it'll help with the CO2 conversions and that sort of thing. So anyway, that's all of my comments about this one.
Yeah, and I certainly hope that maybe the stump or whatever large parts of that tree is left, that maybe that can be, repurposed. But I think the staff has had some input on that also. Commissioner Long, do you have any input on this?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I concur. I think in general, completely support the project. You know, it's rare. There's a reason why, you know, there hasn't been a project like this in the city, because these types of lots aren't available. Obviously, it was a park originally, and now we're looking at this project, which I agree on by all means that it's a equally important use and maybe a higher use, obviously, for affordable housing. I want to thank the applicant for being advocates for affordable housing. I think this is a great partnership. You know, it's something that's been, you know, a high city goal for a long time, and it's finally coming, hopefully, to fruition. So that's fantastic. This is the only thing I would ask is there was a comment about increased heights. You know, we talked a little bit about concessions, and so this is a question, I guess, for the applicants. Is there anything else that can be done to tweak the project scope that would make it more desirable or more appealing for the loans that were, you know, the financing, I guess, that we're looking at to make the project move forward? In other words, a third, you know, another level, right? An elevator, decreased parking, any other concessions that would make this project even better.
Okay. We'll get back to the applicant in a moment, maybe. Let's hear from, I see Commissioner McLaughlin put his hand up.
Hey. I think it's a nice project, a nice infill project. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hear you fine. All right. I like the architecture, the contemporary style. The has some quality materials, and I see some metal siding, metal roofing. I think this is a great location because it'll promote pedestrian traffic versus vehicular traffic. You know, the site wasn't really being utilized as well as it will be now with this infill. And we have plenty of parks in Grover Beach. I can hit three of them with a rock from my house. So,
well, don't do that.
I would support this project, and I think it's well designed. So thank you.
Okay. Did I miss any commissioners?
Just me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Do you have a comment? I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I agree with all of the other commissioners' comments, and I am in support of the project as well.
Okay. Let's see if the applicant would like to respond to Commissioner Long's concern about concessions for the height, I guess, is what you were asking about.
Yeah, Chair, just to clarify, it wasn't a concern. It was a question.
Of the applicant. Yeah. Yes, applicant, do you care to, is any one of your people there want to respond to that?
I'll say, you know, thanks for the question. For one, it's great to have an open mind about that. Part of what we were trying to explain is it's a fairly tight timeline. We're probably wanting to just go with the design. We've spent quite a bit of time to get to this point. I'm sure there could be improvements, but maybe in the interest of moving ahead, I think we're thinking, because we've got a lot of experience with, you know, what works at the end in terms of competitiveness. So I think probably we're thinking it's best to just move on. Wouldn't necessarily make any recommendation, but I'm going to leave that open. Maybe Scott or our architect Murray might have anything else that want to add to that.
This is Scott Smith. I really appreciate the comment. I think it's a really insightful, good way of thinking about things, especially land, which is an extremely scarce resource on the Central Coast these days, at least land with infrastructure and zoning for housing. But I think that our timeline is just, it would upset our timeline pretty significantly. And that would probably be my only hesitation at this point, just exactly what Mr. Trigero was explaining.
Commissioner Long, do you want to respond to that?
No, not at all. Completely understand. And absolutely, I know this has been in the works for a while. So thanks for the feedback on that.
Right. And in the idea of concessions or exceeding what is required, I really appreciate that you folks have decided to use solar energy more than what would it normally be required or what is actually normal. I'm a great supporter of solar energy, but I really appreciate that. So I think, commissioners, if you have no further comments, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to approve development application 2120.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second, and I believe this should be roll call. Ms. Ratana?
Chair Rodman, I can just correct the motion. This is to recommend approval to the City Council.
Yes, of course. Yes, and let me remind all the people that spoke, you can certainly appeal this to the, or is this not even by appeal?
Correct, it's not an appeal.
Automatically go.
No appeal. You're making a recommendation to the City Council, and anybody can come 6 o'clock next Monday night, December 13th, and speak to the council on this item. They will consider approval of the project on Monday night.
Excellent. Thank you for that reminder, and I support all of you folks that spoke tonight to attend the council meeting. So we have a motion and a second. Ms. Ratana, would you call the roll?
Commissioner McLaughlin?
Yes.
Commissioner Holden?
Yes.
Commissioner Long?
Yes.
Vice Chair Halverson?
Yes.
And Chair Rodman?
Yes. So the motion passes then. So we have no regular business this evening, I see on the agenda. So let's move on to commissioner comments. Commissioner Holden.
I have
any
no
comments in general or?
I have no comments.
Okay, cool. Commissioner Long.
No comments, Chair, thank you.
All right. Commissioner McLaughlin.
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Vice Chair Halverson.
Yeah, I'd just like to thank the members of the public who took it upon themselves to call in tonight and voice their opinions. That's kind of what this is about. So good job, guys. You may not have gotten what you wanted, what you desired, what you think is best, but we really appreciate your input.
Good comment. I'm a educator by profession, and so I hope people by listening to these meetings and attending are further educated. But yes, I support that also. So let's see. McLaughlin, we heard. Okay, I think. Is that all? That just leaves me. I hope that the community development director includes in his report an update on the El Camino projects, the lodge, and anything else that's going on. What I'm mostly interested in is I certainly appreciate that the review of the standards that are subjective is continuing, and if you have any input or update on that, I'd like to hear that also. So community development director, please give your final report.
Thank you, Chair. First I'll start with the follow-up to the two public workshops that were held regarding the development code update The culmination of that was on November 8th. The council gave final direction. It basically reflected everything that you heard in the two workshops. So we are moving forward with drafting those updated ordinances, removing the subjective language, and also drafting these objective design standards. So that is likely to be in front of the commission for consideration March or April. So it will be happening soon. I know you're all looking forward to that. In regards to
is that going to be piecemeal, or will that be one big, huge document for us to review?
It'll be one large amendment. I will add that the part of the direction that was provided by the council was to update our standards for street improvements and utility undergrounding. And we're going to carve that out and bring that to the commission and council before the April, May timeframe. So you'll see that as a separate code amendment. We want to expedite that because that does impact projects that are in the pipeline.
Excellent. Very good.
And then regarding hotel updates, the 950 El Camino Real project, they intend on planning, submitting for plan review later on this month. So again, a start of construction, probably not likely till spring or summer, but they are in the process. No updates on the hotels at 1598 El Camino Real that were approved a few years ago. And on the Grover Beach Lodge, there is progress being made behind the scenes as far as construction drawings. So we know that they are in process. I'll remind you that the city is not the reviewer of those project plans. That would be state parks and state fire marshal. But we will keep you posted on when those plans are submitted to the state for review. So I didn't have any other projects to provide any updates on. I will tell you that our next regular Planning Commission meeting is January 4th. And at this time, it doesn't appear we have any items that are ready for that. But what we may do is have a special meeting some other time later in the month. So we will keep the commission posted on the January Planning Commission date.
All right. We'll look forward to our next meeting then. Let's see. I guess our business is done tonight. I'll bang the gavel one last time, and we are adjourned at 7:56, December the 7th. Thank you all for your help. I appreciate all of you. Have a great night.